Today we're going to talk about Rav Kook's view of panentheism. So, question is, how do we relate to Hashem? How do we relate to God? From the times of Tanakh until early Hasidut, there was a distance between God and the world, that God lives in the heavens and sometimes he comes down to deal with the world. Especially, we find this in the writings of the Rambam, how he writes that God and the world are so different from each other that it's hard to understand how God interacts with the world, and we can't even use any human terms to describe how Hashem relates to the world. Classical monotheism is this kind of I-thou relationship between creature and creator. God is the other to the human self. There is transcendence. In a world filled with God's greatness, perhaps there's no room for personal growth. Who am I compared to God? And it could be potentially debilitating that I can feel worthless. God is transcendent. He is holy. He is so different than anything. And who am I? I'm like a nothing. You know, Rav Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim writes that in Shar Gimel, Prakim Beis to Gimel, he writes that there's this new concept, though, that there's this new idea that Hakol Mole Atzmus Achduso HaPashut Yisbarach Shemo, that everything is filled with Hashem's simply unified essence. This idea that when we say that Hashem is Echad, so the classic monotheistic idea of Hashem is Echad means that he is Yachid. He is distinct from anything else. You can't compare him to anything else. But here, the Nefesh HaChaim is explaining that maybe there's another explanation to Echad, means that everything is filled with, is all filled with God's unified essence. That everything is Echad. Hashem is Echad. Everything. God is the only entity that exists. Everything is a manifestation of divinity. And he points out that, and Nefesh HaChaim says, I want to spoken about this, but I see that in the earlier generation, they didn't talk about this. They referred to God as the other. He's transcendent. Everyone's doing what they think. And therefore, that this is, everyone's saying this now. Everyone is saying now, even simple people are saying that everything is complete divinity. And we need to try to understand this idea. In other words, this is an idea that everyone was talking about in the beginning of the 19th century. Because really, Hasidut really changed this whole notion and dealing with this tension between God being transcendent and immanent, the creator versus the created, how Hashem relates to the world. So Hasidut introduced a new idea that God is really found in this world. Now, in fact, there's a story about the Alter Rebbe, the first Chabad Rebbe, and the Rebbe asked his grandson, "Do you see the beams of the ceiling?" The grandson said, "What do you mean?" The Alter Rebbe said, "Believe me, now I only see the divine ayin, and I see only the nothingness. I see the divine vitality that transcends the ordinary characteristics of the existence, that vivifies it." Meaning, this is called Bitul Hayesh. That everything, the beams of the ceiling, is merely an illusion. And we must be mahapech yesh la'ayin. We must transform the reality into nothingness. That there's really nothing except for God. In other words, in the story, the Alter Rebbe didn't see the beams. He only saw godliness. He only saw what was behind the beams. So he saw God in this world, not far, far away. Rav Kook believed that God could be found in this world, but not in the same way that early Hasidut thinking imagined it, of Bitul Hayesh. Again, Rav Kook, so in order to understand Rav Kook's view, we need to define a few terms. Pantheism is associated with Baruch Spinoza. He was a heretic. Pantheism believes that God is nature, but God is not above nature. There's nothing beyond this world. Right? Classical monotheism focused on God being beyond the world, and we're here. Sometimes God's involved in the world. Pantheism says that God is this world. God is all of existence, but not beyond. We don't believe in that, but we can believe in panentheism. Pantheism believes, literally means pan, all, is theism, is God. Panentheism is all is in God. There's a midrash in Bereishis Rabbah that is asked, why is Hashem called Makom? Shehu Mekomo Shel Olam Ve'im Olamo Mekomo. Why is Hashem called Makom? Hashem is the place of the world, but the world is not his place. Meaning everything in this world is a reflection of the divine, but God is beyond this world. And Rav Kook writes in one of his works, Shmona Kvatzim, he explains that in a normal hashkafa, the normal perspective, the otah hayitbonenut ha'elokit haba mehadea hamonotiestit, the contemplation that we get through the monotheistic worldview, he says sometimes he misabebet lifabim etzev achalishat nefesh. Sometimes it leads to sadness and weakness of spirit. Why? Bibnei arifayon haba beruach adam bitzuro. That because of the sense of limitation that arises within a person, shehu rachok mihashlama halokit, that when we perceive that we're far from divine perfection. In other words, classic monotheism is that greatness, divinity, is far, far away from me. It's transcendent. And we can feel down. We can feel sad. We feel weak compared to God. He actually writes, Pacho me'ashkafa zot mi'aget et ha'adam ha'ashkafa ha'monteistit ha'notel la'hasbara ha'spinozit. So less exhausting than the monotheistic approach is the Spinozist interpretation. Kishehi mizdachecha misigeha. When you refine Spinoza from its impurities. Now, obviously, we don't believe in pantheism, but when we take this notion of Spinoza, we want to bring God down to earth, but we purify it and we believe in panentheism. So then it's good. He says this view of Spinoza, but again, when it's purified, that basically says that he believed there's nothing besides divinity, right? That's this idea, that there's nothing besides divinity. And he says that if you believe that we are connected to divinity, divinity is down here, then we feel strengthened because we're so close to the divine, we feel so connected. He writes that practically we need to take a monotheistic approach. We need to separate the holy from the unholy. Because at the end of the day, certain things are good in this world, certain things are bad, or they seem to be bad. But in reality, he says, in reality, the panentheistic approach is really the correct approach. In other words, the highest level, the deepest level, is that even in things that don't seem to be that holy, it's all God. Every aspect of this world is an expression of divinity. It's not like the Baal HaTanya said, that what we see is all an illusion. Of course, it's not an illusion. It's real. But it's a reflection of divinity. Everything that we have is a reflection of divinity, and that connects us tremendously to this world and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. And he, Rav Kook, wrote in Orot, Zeronim Tzimaon L'Kelchai, a thirst for God. And in this essay, he writes that a stable foundation spiritually can only be achieved through God. And he writes that Torah scholars, he says, Alken Yimtzu Al Pirov Tamid Chachamim Mavak Shelkim Yigeim VaYefim Baruach. Torah scholars, those who seek out God, often find themselves weary and burdened in spirit. Why? Kishanashama Homa Laor Hayoter Bahir Eina Mista Peket Boto Haor Hanimsa Miyatsede Gambe Masim Hayoter Tovim. The soul yearns for a light brighter than what it perceives. It becomes dissatisfied with the light of justice, even the noblest deeds. Meaning, my neshama wants something greater than what exists. If I'm simply a Torah scholar, so I'm seeking something that's far away, the Torah, but I can't get to it. And because it's so far away from me, if I take the classical monotheistic view, if I'm only using my intellect. What's the way to really connect to God, to feel that spirituality? What's the way to feel spiritually connected? So Rav Kook writes, the way to achieve that is Tzarich laharot et haderech eich nichlatzim la'al hatrak, lein derech hashar. The way to enter the grand hall is through the gate. Hashar hu ha'elokut ha'mitgaleh ba'olam. The gate is divinity revealed in this world. Ba'olam b'chol yafil v'adaro. In all of its beauty and splendor. B'chol ruach and neshama. In every spirit and soul. B'chol chai v'remesh. In every living creature and crawling being. B'chol tzemach u'perach. In every plant and every flower. B'chol goy ma'amlacha. In every nation and kingdom. Ba'yav v'galav. In the sea and its waves. God, we feel connected. Yes, we should learn Torah. We should study Torah. We should pray to God. Do perform mitzvos. The way to feel connected, to really feel, to tap into God is to try to experience God in this world, is to see divinity and godliness in every creation. In Orot HaKodesh, Rav Kook writes, Yesh Olam Shel Chol V'Olam Shel Kodesh. There's a world of holiness and a world of the mundane. Olamim shel chol v'olamim shel kodesh. They're worlds of mundane, worlds of holiness. Olamim sotrim etzeh, and they seem contradictory. K'muvan astira hi subjektivi. Of course, the contradiction is subjective because we don't fully understand. Ha'adam b'hasagatom tumemet am tumtzemet ein yochel lefasher bein hakodesh uvein hachol. A person who, with our limited understanding, we can't reconcile the sacred with the mundane. We can't reconcile the contradictions. Yet they are harmonized at the highest level in the sanctuary of the holiest of the holy. In other words, we need to relate to holy and not holy as a source of spiritual growth. We cannot bridge the gap between the holy and the mundane. But we have to realize that these distinctions are only temporary. Ultimately, Echad, God is one. Everything in this world is found in God. And God is also beyond. Everything is in God, and God is beyond existence as well. And essentially, what Rav Kook advocates in panentheism is that all is in God. It's a middle ground between transcendence and pantheism. Everything that is in God. However, God is not everything that is. Man is a revelation of God, and in order to spiritually develop, man must connect with God. Man is a divine revelation, not an independent entity cowering in the face of divinity. God is not the other. The human soul is not merely a candle, and there's a bonfire. Rather, the source of our strength is the glow that we receive from the distant divine light. And we strengthen that glow by coming closer to the godly source of divine light. We are like leaves attached to a divine trunk. God provides us the means to fully develop ourselves, thus enabling us to recognize our uniqueness. Nature is a limb of a far greater divine being, not equivalent. But it's a limb of a far greater divine being. We are being nourished by God in this world, but he's also beyond this world. Why is this approach so important? Rav Kook's approach impacts how we view the world. One approach as to how we should view the world is essentially minimize engagement of the world to the extent necessary. The world is generally bad. The real world that we want to strive to achieve is Olam Haba. We're a totally spiritual world. Right now we're in the world, we're trying to navigate. We're trying to navigate from all the impurities of this world and try to make sure we don't defile our souls. Because the world in general is bad. And we try to avoid it to the extent possible and just engage in Torah and mitzvos. Another approach, I would like to say the halachic man approach, is you view the world as a tool through which we observe halacha. It's a means through which we observe halacha. Rav Kook has a different approach. And we also have the Hasidic approach, the early Baal Tanya approach, which is the world is all an illusion, and you have to try to dig in deep to see what's beyond the world. That's divinity. Rav Kook's approach, though, is the world has inherent value. Everything in the world has inherent value. There is Kodesh and not yet Kodesh. And this is how we have to view the world. In practice, sometimes we have to stay away from things because certain things may be tempting. But in reality, everything in the world, the entire existence, is an expression of divinity. So what he would call is not Kodesh and Chol, but in reality it's Kodesh and not yet Kodesh. And we'll see in the coming Shiurim how he further develops this idea of panentheism.